I would just say that Dallas, as I walked out in the hallway, shared with me where you find the Secretary of State's audit, so disregard that. Questions under different heading. So who wants to respond to the other question?
I don't have a speech.
Let's take the out-of-state travel first.
I'll respond to that, Chair Carino.
Okay.
With respect to out-of-state travel, I don't think that we do very much. There are a number of organizations that we belong to, like the National Councils on Teacher Retirement. There are two large ones. NASRA is the other one. They have meetings for senior managers and conferences as a whole. They're educational in nature. We'd be happy to provide you with the topics that are discussed. This particular area, pension and pension-like savings fringe benefits, is an extremely fertile area, as you know, and I think the information that I provided earlier at the beginning of the session indicates that. We get some excellent ideas, and I, quite frankly, I don't think we do enough of it.
Share with me, also, you mentioned that a lot of the out-of-state travel is to organizations. Are those organizations, I noticed under dues, when I combine dues, subscriptions, and publicity to $250,000, is part of that dues to these organizations, maybe?
It may be dues, $20,000.
$20,000 in dues?
But
that line item is a total of $20,000.
I think we're probably looking at some database subscriptions that are in that. I don't think our dues are anywhere close to that, $20,000.
These are questions I always ask across all agencies,
yeah,
so I don't really think I'm picking on you, but I think it's very important that we look at various. We had one agency with a due an annual dues of $37,000, and I just really think that we need to look at dues and subscriptions and where we're spending our money so that we make sure that there are organizations that are helpful to us.
We'd be happy to provide a breakout for that.
A breakout for the dues and subscriptions, if you could, and the out-of-state travel. Now, the in-state travel, I assume, is for a lot of the conference with retirees that you have around.
That's some of it, but I will tell you that the biggest uptick in-state travel is really by the senior management itself going out to meet with employers. It is our judgment collectively that we have spent an enormous amount of time providing service to members, and I think appropriately so. I've argued that over the last several days, and I continue to do so. We have done much less with respect to working with employers, and we have a number of major issues in front of employers, like pooling, for instance, where they have to make a major risk management decision with respect to their to the management of their pension costs. So the senior management has been traveling literally nonstop around the state. I think we visited over 125 employers in groups and individually in just in the last year.
Now, have you ever tried to do those kinds of meetings with video conferencing?
Not really, because the information is changing and is quite fluid, and mostly these are budget officers that want to address their governing bodies, and so... I'm sorry. You're talking about interactive real-time video. We haven't.
I would just share with you that we do that because of the distance that various members of the body have in their constituents getting over here to see them, et cetera. We have video conferencing with all the communities in Central Oregon at one time, twice a month, with the legislators in our area here, and it works quite well. Now, if you need to go and look at somebody's books, I suppose that's quite a different matter. But in talking to people to provide information or having conferences with them, I highly recommend it. As a matter of fact, I have a bill in to ask us to do that more frequently in the legislature. I think there's a lot of reasons for us with the high cost of fuel and a lot of things. I think we need to try video conferencing a lot more than we do.
We have discussed that, Chair Clarno, as a possibility, but as you note, one of the things that employers most want to do is sit down with their actuarial statement and go through it line by line and ask the questions, why did this go up, why did that go down?
But I guess I would just suggest that that could be faxed, and the person on this end has it, and the person on the other end has it, and could go, if you haven't done it, it is not all that bad. It's pretty good.
How about if we give it a try, Chair Clarno, and report back to you on how well it went?
Okay, I will appreciate that. And the other question, I think you're going to get back to me on the out-of-state travel. The FT increase, if you'd just share with me what that caused that increase. I wasn't here last session, so I need to be brought up.
Chair Clarno, I can account for a portion of it. What we're looking at is the increase from the 1995-97 biennium through the 99-01 biennium. I have our budget document that we had for the 1997-99 biennium. That accounts for about 20 of those FTE and now are full-time equivalencies. Now, I can go ahead and go through the budget document and give that detail, but I will not be able to at this time be able to provide the reason or the reason that we added the additional 17 positions at this time. Is that something that we
could respond in writing?
Yes. 17 are in the current budget?
17 are in the current budget.
Oh, so we're talking about the difference between the 97-99 budget and the current budget. I should be able to do most of that unless you want to...
We can do a breakdown in writing and detail the general functional areas that these people should now show up in.
Okay, thank you. Further questions?
I have one other comment. The staff corrects me, and thank goodness for the staff, because the director sometimes goes off the rails. Staff tells me that we are, in fact, using interactive video conferencing with employers to do employer education on how to do PERS accounting and to make accurate submissions. So I stand corrected.
So you're doing it, and you're going to increase doing it, right?
Yes. That's
good for you. Any other questions?
No, it was related to funding, and I think that was responded to. I did have one question, Madam Chair, regarding the response from yesterday. In going through yesterday's response, the Benefit Equalization Fund, the non-qualified plan, the designation is made for those amounts which are in excess of the reserves and the earnings on the reserves, which would exceed the salaries, wages, and compensation as a departing employee or a retiring employee. And those amounts which exceed that then are reported as wages, salaries, and compensation to the Internal Revenue Service and are subject to FICA tax. FICA tax, no small amount, 7.65% is the matching portion. And I just wondered in that process, who pays the match of the FICA on the BEF plan?
Chair Clarno, Representative Butler, the employer pays for the match.
The employer, in this case, being the state of Oregon or the other participant in the plan.
Right, the employer of the member who has retired.
Right.
Employers.
Right.
Employers.
So you would actually then have a situation where if one particular jurisdiction had an employee that was receiving both a 1099-R and a W-2, then you'd be billing that employer back, and assuming it was just the city of Tigard, that you'd be actually billing back for that one employee to the city of Tigard for 7.65%.
Is it bill, or do we take it out of the employer's account, Dale?
We actually bill, but what we do is we calculate what the total FICA over the payment stream, the predicted payment stream out of the Benefit Equalization Fund would be, and then we bill them for that full amount. So they only pay it once, but it is a large bill when we do send it to them.
Okay, and then actually bill it up front then?
Yes.
Okay, and is that actuarially adjusted for current values?
I would assume that it is.
Yeah, we take most things to present value, sir.
Okay, and again, where that's an administration of a different fund, the non-qualified fund, is there any cost to the employer of administering that additional fund and the billing
Yes, Chair Cornell, Representative Butler, indeed it is. And we have broken the fees that we have collected from the employers out and provided that to you in the letter that we provided today on the fee breakout that was requested.
I haven't got a chance to go through today's letter.
It is one of the areas, Representative Butler, where we do charge direct fees for a special transaction.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Just had a new election of a new member. Representative Johnson, would you like to introduce your job shadow?
I would be pleased to introduce my job shadow. His name is Julian Mulligan. He's an eighth grader at the Gilley School, which is part of the French American School, and he will be with me today. His interest is in drug policy, and he's following on the federal level foreign affairs.
Oh my, wonderful. Welcome. Representative Hayden, do you have a question?
No, I just thought that Representative Bowman's replacement showed up so quickly.
Oh, I see.
No, that was primarily a thank you, and I'll go through the responses from yesterday's questions.
With that, excuse me, Representative Johnson, we are almost ready to adjourn. Do you have any other questions before we do?
I do not, Madam Chair.
Okay, excuse me for interrupting you. We appreciate your testimony informing us on your budget, and thank you, Sarah. And we will not have a meeting tomorrow morning because we are through with this budget, and we'll finish it later, as Dallas has mentioned, after the government committee has reviewed their technology request.
If I may, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we've been in touch with the interested parties with respect to the legislative time frame. We expect that we should be able to get to this about the middle of April or a little after. That, you know, we've represented the Hill subcommittee. If that is not possible, then your staff will recommend going to work session and work the rest of the budget out and provided probably a dollar of limitation for the project. And then still to try to get the budget moved out before the end of April. So one way or another, I would your staff will be recommending a budget before the end of April.
Okay, thank you. And I would say that if any of you have any questions of Dallas or any things that haven't been answered by the testimony we've had the last few days, please speak to the director or Dallas, whatever you need additional information on. And with that, we're adjourned, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.